Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. In our concluding message of our current series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, we will wrap up our study of the Sermon on the Mount with Dr. John Neufeld with this message called An Invitation to Eternity. So let us turn to our text in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29.
Not long ago, I was sitting at a table in a restaurant sharing a meal with a man who led a ministry that preached the gospel to and cared for the needs of the poor of the earth. Since I had recently been to India, he told the story of some of the poor in that land. These were members of the lowest caste. Many of them would work in rock quarries with a hammer in hand, splitting rocks into gravel from the time of childhood until their weary adult bodies gave out and they died. Many of them were working for a lifetime to pay off a family debt, an amount of money that is the equivalent of about $300. They were paid so little. A lifetime of splitting rocks in a quarry was not considered enough to pay off such a small debt. I was staggered at the thought and marveled at human cruelty. You know, the conversation at that table that night carried on. The man who described this horrible scene went on to describe a conversation he had had with a young boy in one of those quarries. He asked the young boy what he would like to become. And the boy, without looking up, simply said, "I've learned not to dream." You know, I've had some difficulty dealing with that scene. It haunts me. It haunts me because every child I've ever met has dreams. They want to be firefighters and farmers and mothers and prime ministers and pilots. The capacity to dream and to imagine what we would like to become and be and even change into is a part of a universal human experience. It takes a horrible, depraved abuse to drive that from the heart of a child. As Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount, it is to this universal human experience that he now speaks. Everyone is building a life, he says. Everyone is fulfilling a dream. Yeah, I know. There are drug addicts and pleasure seekers who try to drive away the pain of unfulfilled dreams or to anesthetize the pain of their failure with some immediate gratification. But that's just the point. It takes just such a violent approach to drive the human will to dream away. It's a part of what it means to be in the image of God. It is a frightful tragedy when that dream has been driven away. But it is to this capacity to dream that Jesus speaks. You know, his is a dire warning that the fulfillment of some dreams, misplaced, ill-thought-through dreams, are as dire as the child who never dreams again. To use the words of Jesus, we are all building a house, structure. It is the project of a lifetime, the fulfillment of our dreams. But as we all know, certain buildings, like the pyramids in Egypt, last for many thousands of years, and some, like an igloo in Canada's north, is only meant to last for the winter season. It soon ends. So let's read the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and I'm reading from Matthew 7, 24 to 27. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when we last left off, we heard Jesus warn that not everyone who says to him, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. He demands that his would-be followers would submit to his kingship, that they surrender their lives and their future into his loving hands. But now in the end of his sermon, he tells us why this is the only wise thing to do. In every single human life, a structure arises. It is the structure of our house, the choice we make, the things we live for, the goals and the dreams we pursue. And at the end of every life, there stands a kind of an edifice that reflects what we have built over the course of a lifetime. Jesus, in describing this process and why a surrender of our lives and our future into his hands is significant, describes the process of building a house in four phases. First is the foundation upon which we build. He's speaking here about the presuppositions that form the basis upon which we make all the decisions we make in life. Then second is the actual structure we build, the actual shape of a life. Then third, he speaks about the test which each house is subjected. He is speaking about something in specific, something we had not anticipated, something that will destroy everything upon which our lives have been built upon. And then finally, he speaks about the final outcome of each life. You remember that in the section preceding this passage, he is comparing human lives to trees that either go on to be fruitful or are cut down and thrown into the fire. So let's trace the two houses or the two lives as they are built and lived out. The first is the wise man. Jesus is referring here to his followers, the ones who surrender their lives into his loving hands. They have converted. They have entered through the narrow gate. They've renounced all their idols and for the sake of the kingdom of heaven would gladly forego all other things. Whether it's pride or lust or dealing with enemies or trying to figure out the meaning of money and how to use it from prayer to anxiety over the future, they will trust their King. King Jesus, to direct the course of their lives, that's their foundation. And if that's you, congratulations. You have entrusted your life and your decisions and your willingness to repent and your ongoing confidence into the hands of Christ who loves you. Of course, you're not perfect. You are, after all, poor in spirit, counting your inner spiritual advantage to be desperately impoverished. You know you're a sinner, and you count every day upon the grace that comes from Christ. But you hunger and thirst after his kingdom, both in your life and in the world. This, says Jesus, is building your house on a rock. The rock is the foundation, and this foundation is solid and does not move. Again, it's important that we understand exactly what the rock is. Yeah, the rock is Jesus, but the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the rock is the life that Jesus has described, its values, its foundational principles in our lives. It's our submission and willingness to trust in him. Allow me to press that point. If you're married but believe you could do better than the spouse you have, and as you look around you, you see opportunity. You know, the next decision, the one whether you're going to double down and repent of your rebellious desire, of that which is not a part of Christ's kingdom, and learn in Christ to shape your affections and find in your spouse the object of your love, or the decision to allow the flame of lust to be fanned into that which is not a part of Christ's kingdom, that decision is all about your foundation. Everyone builds on a foundation. If you build on Christ, you allow his teaching to guide your sexuality and your commitments, both in marriage and beyond. Now, to be truthful, the boy in the rock pile, strangely enough, is also building a house built with blood and pain and disillusionment and the crushing weight of the cruelty of others. But he, too, builds these very experiences on a foundation of his understanding. He does have a kind of a dream. It's a hellish one, to be sure, that of building his house on futility, in which nothing better than what he's experiencing can ever occur. See, he doesn't know of a city whose maker and builder is God, a city governed by a king who wipes the tears from each eye and who bids his servants to enter into joy. If there were only someone to tell him, to plant a dream in his soul that would fully be realized. See, there is a command in Jesus that his followers cannot be indifferent to this boy, but they are called to preach the good news to the poor as well as to loosen his bonds. But hear me, for those of us who would turn from that child and do nothing, or to those who would actually participate to enslave such a child, that too is to build a house on a foundation of the self-centered life. A complete structure rises on just such a foundation. See, everyone builds a house, and everyone wants the best house they can build, but it is the foundation upon which we build that is of ultimate value. Listen again to the beginning of verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, that's the foundation to build upon. Or to verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. That's the other foundation that Jesus is speaking about. Of course, the final outcome of a life is not determined by whether we heard, but whether after we have heard. whether we bend the knee to Him and submit our pride and our self-centered dreams to Him and to His gospel. Indeed, this is the call to conversion. Come to me, says Jesus. Build your life on that foundation. Follow Christ. Trust Christ. Surrender to Christ. Accept Christ and begin to build a life on Him. If you've never done that, now is the time.
In this concluding message of the Sermon on the Mount, we will begin to recognize the eternal significance of Jesus' words as He invites all people to be part of His kingdom. Every single person is building their lives on a foundation, and this foundation will determine where one's eternity is spent. There is perhaps no greater message from Jesus than this. When we come back, Dr. John Neufeld helps us to understand the meaning of building a life upon a rock and what we must do in response to it. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. Dr. Neufeld has been helping us to unpack what Jesus really taught in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. We hope you have been blessed and encouraged by listening to these great teachings so far, as there is so much to learn about what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom on earth. We hope you have been blessed. And now these timeless messages are available for you to own on a CD for just ₹100, which includes shipping and handling. Listen and be inspired by Jesus' profound lessons about true faith and what it looks like. Don't miss this opportunity to grab your CD today by calling 9492-440070. That's 9492-440070. Or email us at info@backtothebible.in.